I've got here a couple of props for my talk this morning. This one I can take out of the plastic container, the little freezer bag. Exhibit number one, Pat, what is this?
It's a stone.
Do you want to hold it? Yeah, it's just an ordinary stone. Yeah, I've got two bits of minerals, and that one is a stone. And you can see one of them up there. And this one I'm not going to take out of the bag. Who can tell me what this is? You have to guess. Coal, exactly. It's coal. And the thing is that it's... Move this over here. What's the difference between a stone and coal in terms of potential? I'd like us to think this morning a little bit about your potential and my potential. And what is the potential of a stone? What could this stone be used for? Anybody like to shout something out? What can you use a stone for? Hey? Build. Yeah, you could use it for building, maybe as a paperweight. Perhaps you could even decorate it. But there's not a lot of uses for them, are there? David used one rather usefully, didn't he, with Goliath? And you might think that this second thing, this piece of coal, is a bit of an inferior stone. It's kind of breakable. It's not an even shape. It's not a particularly beautiful thing. And it's dirty, isn't it? Have any of you ever handled coal? You always need to wash your hands. And they're surprisingly greasy, aren't they? Oily. And if you didn't know better, you might think that it was an inferior stone. But actually, this piece of coal has incredible potential. Incredible potential. There they are there. And the thing about coal is that it's flammable. What does flammable mean? You can set it alight. Unlike any other stone, it's got this potential to be set alight. And really, it's a picture of us as human beings, that every human being has a potential to be set alight by God. And we are not just normal people. We are body, we are soul, and we are spirit. And because we are spirit, we have room within us for the Holy Spirit, which gives us the potential for being completely different people. If we don't believe that we have any potential as human beings, then we will never achieve what God wants us to. We must have some vision beyond our own humanity to be effective for God. This morning we're talking about Christingle, and the word Christingle means Christ fire. So that word ingle, I think it's an Anglo-Saxon word, and it just means fire. So Christingle means Christ fire, and this piece of coal has that potential. Joe and I have just been on holiday. Not last week, but the week before. And about this time of year, we always go to the same place, a really cold, usually rather damp place on the Kent coast. And we find a little cottage somewhere. And Joe likes two things. She likes there to be a bath, because we have a shower at home. And so this is a real treat. And the other thing is to have a fire. And this particular fire you can see here is called an inglenook fire, an inglenook fireplace. And that means fire in a nook, okay, in a cozy place. And an inglenook fireplace is like kind of set into the wall, and it's a beautiful fire. And usually, or very often, there are seats, even actually inside those walls of the fire. Sometimes there are little seats, or where you can just put some, you know, put a kettle or something. And around that fire, it's like the center of the room. And there's something very beautiful about a log fire or a wood burner, that you could just look at it. It's beautiful. It's warm, it gives a beautiful light. You can switch all the lights off, and this beautiful kind of yellow flickering light in the room. So it's a beautiful thing. And it's the kind of potential that you can have with something flammable. Fire has incredible potential all over the world. Now, California, there have been some devastating fires. In Australia, the same thing. There have been incredible fires. And they could just be started by one piece of burning coal. And you know, it's the same for us, that this world has been set alight by individual people who have been on fire for Jesus. Joe was talking about the Moravian Revival, which is a very important revival in the history of Europe and, in fact, the history of the world. And there were just this group of persecuted people called the Moravians. And they were persecuted. They were arguing with one another. They came from different places in the kind of Germany area. And they ended up in this guy's estate, a guy called Count Nicholas van Zinzendorf. And he got them to love one another. He actually gave them rules: stop arguing, stop fighting, and love one another. God gave them a hunger to pray. And that hunger increased and increased. They had more and more prayer meetings. And in the end, they had one communion service where they celebrated the Lord's Supper. And woof, it was called the Moravian Pentecost. The Holy Spirit fell, and they said that they didn't know whether they were in heaven or on earth. And they went all over the world. And this was a couple of centuries ago. They went to Greenland. They met John Wesley going over to the West Indies. They were incredible. There was nothing incredible about them, but God had touched their hearts, and they had become ablaze with the Spirit. A fire is always changing. And so that's our journey today, is we should be changing. The Bible says, be changed. Romans 12, be metamorphosed, be changed by the renewing of your minds. And so God wants to change us even today. He wants to change us. And I want to talk about a little bit about our journey and include my journey as well. The first thing is, a fire must be lit. The journey of a fire. A fire must be lit. You could have everything prepared, but if there wasn't a flame, it would never burn, would it? And in 1976, for myself, somebody lit a flame in my life. Somebody came to my school. They told me about Jesus. I, for the first time in my life, after being in a church setting for many years, I understood the simplicity of the gospel, that if I asked Jesus into my life, he would change me. That's what this guy said to me. I asked him into my life, and he completely changed my life in an instant, honestly. I was set alight, and the joy, the happiness that I experienced was so great that I just had to tell everybody, because something had happened in my life. You know, God wants us to be witnesses. Now, the moment I say witness, people freeze inside. You're not going to ask me to go and witness, are you? That means like I've got to talk about God and I'm embarrassed and I don't know what to say. I'm not talking about that, really. A witness is something really very, very simple. And this is how they described it in the book of Acts. How can we not speak of the things that we have seen and heard? That's what a witness is, somebody who hears something or they see something and they report on what they have heard or seen. What have you heard about Jesus? What have you seen about the beauty of Jesus? How well do you know him? Do we know him in a way that we want to talk to others about him? Because if we don't, we need to be set on fire afresh, don't we? There could be a day, and I would say in my life, that to start with, I was a nuisance. The school teachers were fed up with me, particularly the school chaplain. I was always asking questions, questioning him. Any opportunity to tell my friends about Jesus, I took it. And it wasn't because I was brave or bold, because I was a natural coward. But just something had happened in me. Now, I will say honestly that that fire died down
It really did. And though I wanted God's purpose for my life, I found when I came to London, other things occupied my mind, and things like sin and occupation with other things. Gradually that fire died down. And this happens to us, doesn't it? By the way, this thing is described by John, of John the Baptist. He was described, I think by Jesus, as John was a lamp that burned and gave light. He was a burning, shining light. So if we're going to give light as Christians, we have to have some fire in our hearts. And so that is what a fire will ultimately become. It's not very nice, is it? Just a whole lot of ashes and dead coals of fire. Maybe there's something still burning in there. And for us, there will be something still burning. If we have been born again, if we have met Jesus, there are glowing embers. There's something there that never changes. But God still has to breathe life into our lives, into our spirits. If we don't attend to the fire in our hearts, if that fire is left unattended, it will go out. It is natural that if we don't attend to the fire of God in our hearts, then we would just go out. And you know how quickly that could happen. I was talking about my holiday. Joe and I were quite tired when we went on our holiday this year. And, you know, you go on holiday and we, you know, we ate, we slept, we rested. We slept a lot, we slept. And so you'd think you'd come back the next Monday morning full of strength, bursting with enthusiasm and ready to go. And I wasn't. I seemed like even more tired when I got back. I think I kind of dropped down about three gears. And then I remember thinking on Monday, last Monday morning, thinking, I just feel spiritually dead. I was finding it hard to pray and motivate myself, and I needed something. And Tuesday, thankfully, dear Monica was sharing something at the prayer meeting, and I didn't have to. She shared something wonderful, and we had a wonderful prayer meeting. It was just really beautiful, very alive. And on the way to the prayer meeting, I said, God, my heart is dead. My heart feels flat. Please, could you meet me in the prayer meeting? And he heard my prayer. So by the time I came out of the prayer meeting, something had happened in my heart just by being, having prayed to God, that simple prayer, and being in the presence of other Christians. It was wonderful. So where are you? Where are you in this journey? You know, that's the question that God asked Adam after he'd fallen. He said, Adam, where are you? And every time we come to church, it's a good opportunity to think, where am I in Jesus? Yes, I'm saved. Yes, I'm justified. Yes, I have a covenant with the Almighty. But is my heart burning as it should be? And I think for many of us, if I ask for a show of hands, which I'm not going to, many of us would probably say, it's not burning as brightly as it could be. And God knows that. And so all the way through the Bible, you find a renewal and a restoration going on. You find Israel walking with God, turning away. God sends, usually sends some difficulty into their lives, and then they cry to the Lord, and he sends a prophet, and they come back to him, and then they go away from him, and they come back to him. And that is the pattern of the Old Testament. And if we're honest, there is a daily pattern of that in our lives. God knows that, but he is always there to restore us and to refresh us, and he never breaks his relationship and his agreement with us. But we need to be honest with God. If we can't confess where we think we are in him, there is really no progress possible. So, how do I get the fire back? If you feel this way this morning, I just want to just give you a few clues. In fact, how did I do that this week? Because I've had to say that to myself. Even this morning, I've been going through my message and saying, God, how does this apply to me? Where am I? How can I be renewed? How can I have more fire? The first thing is stay in the fireplace. Stay in the fireplace. You know, the Bible doesn't say this, but there's a well-known proverb saying, no man is an island. No one is an island. No person is an island. And we are not called to be separate. We are called to be together. There isn't such a thing as an individual Christian. We are the body of Christ and members in particular. And our walk with God is very important, but we can't fully walk with God without walking with one another. We just can't. We may think that's what we're supposed to be to do, but we're not. We need each other, and God has made it that way. And you can see, can you just see there in the fireplace? Maybe, Phil, do you want to just switch off a couple of light to the back, just so we can see these a little bit better? It'd be nice to see a bit of the glow, wouldn't it? You don't need to see me, but it's good for you to see the overheads. Hey, that's nice, isn't it? Yeah, stay in the fireplace. Stay in the fireplace. You know, the church is the fireplace, and God will always want to knit us in with and plant us in a body of Christ. Bob and Vicky and I went yesterday and Friday night to a church, kind of church leaders gathering for encouragement, and it was really good. And we met people we didn't meet before, but immediately you just know you are in the body of Christ. But we here are also in the body. And God wants everybody to be part of somebody. And we don't mind if people come to us, stay here for 2 or 3 weeks, when they come into the area, find out what it's like, and they go somewhere else, and they think, oh, actually, I think I fit in better there. And as long as they're fitted in somewhere where God wants them, because we need one another, stay in the fireplace. You know, if one of these coals here falls out of the fire, what will happen to it? I saw you whisper.
It will die off.
It will die off. It will. It'll just lose all its fire. The only way it can retain its heat is by being in the fire, which is why it's very important that we maintain our relationships, even if we struggle with them, in the body of Christ, because we need one another. We cannot afford to fall out of the fire, because we will lose our fire. Matthew 18:20, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the middle of them. And right now, I'm blessed with the opportunity of often meeting with Christians. And sometimes I find I'm just so refreshed just having lunch with somebody or a coffee with somebody, and just Jesus in them affects me. I get some of the heat of God from that person. And if you find that difficult, make the effort. Make sure that you're not alone. You know, even if all you do is have a WhatsApp friend. Some of the men in the church I know have found it difficult to get together, and Gavin's tried to gather some of the guys. And it's difficult for them to meet together. But even if all they have is a WhatsApp group, it's better than nothing, that they can communicate that way. Even better if they get together once a month to pray together, or find another Christian at work, or pray with the people that you live with. There are many opportunities for the twos and threes. Remember that God is in that. He says, I'm in the middle of it. Hebrews 10:25, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some. So in the early church, there were people they thought, I don't really need to meet together. I'm okay by myself. The Bible says, no, encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Number two, get the ash out, okay? Or get out the ash. Get out the ash. So a fire, if you keep one of these coal fires or wood fires going, in the end, the coal will turn to ash and the wood will turn into ash, and it starts to kind of clutter it up, and it's more ash than coal. It's more ash than fire. And again, it's a picture of what will inevitably happen in our lives, that we sin. We all do. The book of James makes it very clear. We all stumble in many ways. In fact, we stumble in ways that we don't realize. This morning, I woke up and went downstairs to finish preparing the talk. And immediately I feel God speaking to me about my attitude to my wife, dare I say it. because I came back yesterday from this event, and Joe was tired, and I was tired, and I wanted just, you know, something kind of more at that moment of greeting, and as I said, she was tired. Now my duty is to love. It is to give, actually, and to be patient and to be kind. It's not to get, actually. And so I felt God speaking to me this morning, Nick, your attitude was wrong. And so, Lord, I'm really sorry, Lord. Please forgive me and wash me in your blood. Because I can't talk to you if I'm not right with God myself. And so that's just a little instant of that. And often there are numerous things. And actually, once we spend a little bit of time with God, something comes up, and then you think, oh, yeah, there was that too. And that attitude too. And so it goes on. So we need to get the ash out of our lives. And this guy here has got a poker, and he's poking the fire to get the ash to fall out so the fire will go better. Don't put the fire out. If you have a lot of smoke in a fire, it's because you put in something damp. You could even pour water in it intentionally to put it out. Then you'd have a lot of smoke. But if you put a damp log into the fire, and that's what deliberate sin does. It causes a lot of smoke in our lives, and we need to deal with things. Sometimes there are things that are habitual, that are difficult to conquer, that we struggle with, that it's actually good to share with one another. The Bible says, pray for one another. He says, confess your faults to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. But we need to deal with the ash in our lives. Do you remember the guy called David, King David, this incredible person, being used so much by God? He'd been writing the Psalms. He was an incredible warrior. He was a man after God's own heart. He was the sweet psalmist of Israel. He was an amazing person. But he backslid in his life. His heart grew very, very cold. And when he should have been out fighting the battles, he sent all the other soldiers out. And he was at home, walking on the balcony, Bathsheba. We know the story. Bathsheba, having a bath, has a good look at what's going on, and then says, I'm going to sleep with her. And so he brings her into the palace, and he sleeps with her. And then he doesn't want the husband to spoil his fun, and so he arranges for the husband to be killed. And he thinks he's okay, but God has a prophet. And David said to Nathan. Nathan came to him and told him this story. And David got so angry with this story, he said, this guy deserves to die. And Nathan said to him, you are the man. Oh dear, I've been found out. And God will find us out. You know, he's very merciful in his dealings. And he doesn't hurt us intentionally or without reason. But God does expose things in our lives. And first of all, he exposes our sin to us before he'll expose it to others, because he wants us to just say, yes, God, ouch, I need to deal with this. And so we deal with it. And then he starts writing Psalm 51, David, which I'm not going to talk much about, but it's an incredible psalm. And I've spent too much of my life in Psalm 51 because I always go back to it if I find that I have sinned and I'm conscious that it was something deliberate and it has wounded my conscience and it has separated me from God. I go to Psalm 51 because this is David's prayer. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your covenant, steadfast love, according to your abundant or incredible mercy. Please blot out my transgressions, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. And we are so grateful for the blood of Jesus, aren't we? You see, Jesus knew that we would sin. And so he allowed himself to live a perfect life and to die on a cross and to take all our sin upon himself. And the wrath and the anger of God against sin, he took on himself so that we could be forgiven. It says if we confess our sin, he's faithful. Yes, and it's a just thing because somebody has died for your sins, and that's Jesus, to not only forgive us, but to cleanse us and to even blot out the transgression from the memory of God. Not because he can't remember, but he chooses not to remember your sins when you've honestly confess them to him. And so we need to deal with these things because our sin separates us from God, doesn't it? Number three, get some oxygen. Get some air. Get some of the life of God and the Holy Spirit in our lives. In Leviticus 6:13 says, the fire shall ever be burning upon the altar. It will never go out. There was an altar in the camp of Israel that was burning all the time. It was never allowed to go out. They had to attend to it day after day, morning and evening, year upon year. That fire was always burning. And it's a picture of prayer in our lives. Spurgeon, one of my favorite preachers, an old Baptist minister, said this. He said, keep the altar of private prayer burning. Yes, we need to be together, but we must have private prayer. We must have individual prayer. We must pray to God, you know, make time for God. Ideally, God wants us praying all the time. But make some time for him, because without the oxygen, without the air, there will be no fire. Somewhere, yeah, I must have got rid of that one. Oh, there it is. Yeah, that get some oxygen one. Can you see what that? What are those two hands? What have they got in their hands, that person? Anybody know? Yes, bellows. Bellows. Is it bellows or billows? Bellows. Yeah. And they're the things that you kind of squeeze and you put air in. Normally, with one of these wood fires, I get a tray and do this kind of thing, you know, to try and get the air in. And once the oxygen reaches those glowing embers, after maybe a minute or a couple of minutes, you know, you're blowing the air in, and then suddenly, woof, the thing bursts into flames and it becomes much more powerful. And you see, it's like a Christian, you know, that we know the embers are glowing there. But if we will allow God into our lives through prayer, through communion with him, then that which is just a glowing ember will burst into flame, and we will be a shining light in our workplace, in our homes, wherever it is, because we've allowed God to bring those things to bear. So we need to get some oxygen, and that happens through prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 says, rejoice always. It's a very good way of staying with God, allowing the oxygen to come in, to always be rejoicing. It's good to sing songs. Recently, I found that particularly when I'm tired, it's just great to sing songs, isn't it? Sometimes I find just a song coming into my mind, and I know that it's from the Holy Spirit. And so I sing it, I look it up. I cut and paste it. I put it in my notebook, and I meditate on it. I pray about it. I sing it. And rejoicing is an amazing way of keeping that fire going. Pray without ceasing. Pray about everything and giving thanks again in every circumstance. That's even the difficult ones. How many people here today have got a difficult circumstance? Give thanks. God has allowed that. Not that you would be crushed by it, but that you would allow that thing in your life to bring you to him. I've often said that anxiety and that feeling of stress is a trigger to bring us to God. It's not for us to suffer anxiety, but actually at the moment we feel that panicky feeling inside, we know we've got to go to God and we've got to cast that care about on him and pray about it. David said this in that Psalm 51. You know, that Psalm 51, it's full of prayers. And it's great to be able to pray about things, to pray about our hearts. And I recommend you look at Psalm 51 afterwards. It's amazing. And verse 10, he starts praying. So he's asked God to forgive him. He says, cleanse me with hyssop. And hyssop was that little bit it was a herb that they used to dip in the blood on the day of Passover. And they had to apply that blood to the door, didn't they? And so it's a picture of the blood. So when we, When we talk to God about our sin, we confess it, we apply the blood. Thank you, Jesus, that your blood cleanses me from every sin, from all sin. But my heart still feels flat, God. So David said, create in me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence. You see, he was so used to God's presence, he suddenly realized that he was in great pain because he'd lost the nearness of God and it was killing him. Cast me not away from your presence. Please, whatever you do, don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of my salvation, of your salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit. Make me willing. So often we think, I can't do this. It's too difficult. But God will give us a willing spirit. I say to God, there are things that I know you would want me to do, and I am not willing. Please give me a willing spirit. God is so gracious, he allows us to pray these prayers. And then the final thing is to lay the fire well. So we have this expression in English, to lay a fire. And it just means to make up the fire. And you've got to make a fire properly. I've learned this over many years, that if you just like put coal in the fire and try and light it, it will not work. And then, okay, I'm going to try putting some wood down first, some kindling wood, and then I'm going to put the coal on top, and I light that, and it doesn't work. Okay, so this time I'm going to get some newspaper, crush it into little balls of paper, put it underneath the wood, and then I'm going to put the wood on top, and then I'm going to put the coal on top. And yes, it works, because I've laid the fire well. And we need to lay the fire well in our lives. You see, God is attracted by the way that we lay our hearts out before him. I had a revelation one day, just reading the Old Testament. To you, it might seem pretty obvious. But actually, when you read about the offerings and study the offerings in the Bible, there are various of them. There's like a sin offering, a trespass offering, a peace offering, different offerings, a grain offering. And the last one, actually it's the first one, is a burnt offering. And it's called the whole burnt offering. And that's what it was. It meant everything on the altar, the whole animal went on that altar. And the priest didn't get any of it. The sin offering, the trespass offering, the priest could have a little bit of it. But this was actually all for God. And it's a picture of our whole lives being on the altar. And that will attract fire from God. It says, there's a picture here of the, it's rather pixelated, isn't it? But that is an altar, and that's the fire coming down from heaven. In various places in the Old Testament, fire came down from heaven on the offering, but it was never on a sin offering, never on a guilt offering, never on a grain offering, only on a burnt offering, where everything was offered to God. And when everything was offered on the altar, whoom, down came the fire. When the tabernacle was dedicated, when the temple was dedicated, when Elijah was with the other guys, the prophets of Baal, he laid a burnt offering on the altar, this whole animal, and the fire came down. It attracted God, a burnt offering. And when we offer our whole lives to God, as best as we are able, it will draw God into our lives. Leviticus 5, 9, 23 to 24 says, Moses and Aaron went into the tent of meeting. When they came out, they blessed the people, and the glory of the Lord appeared to all the people. And fire came out from before the Lord. It came out of the Holy of Holies. Fire came out and consumed the burnt offering and the pieces of fat on the altar. And when all the people saw it, they shouted, who wouldn't? And fell on their faces. This dramatic moment, just like when Elijah was on Mount Carmel, but it was the burnt offering. And you know, we have the ability and the possibility of attracting fire, God's fire, into our lives. Evan Roberts was one of those men. Evan Roberts was a young man, dedicated to church. He went to every prayer meeting, every meeting he could as a child and as a teenager. And God said, this guy's serious about me. I'm going to use his life. And actually, he used that man to burn an incredible fire in Wales in the early 1900s. And it was called the Welsh Revival. And in 1 year, 100,000 people came to know Jesus. Really, not just through that man, but he was the main person in the revival, because God just found somebody he could use that attracted fire. And he said this. He said, I've built the altar, I've laid the wood in order, and have prepared the offering. I have only to wait for the fire. And he did wait, and it did come. And he was baptized in the Holy Spirit in a powerful way, and God used him all over Wales. And it made an incredible difference. And then after that, he wrote this. He said, I've touched the flame and I am burning. I've touched the flame and I am burning. God wants us to touch the flame, doesn't he? So that we can burn too. In finishing this morning, I just want to just kind of lay before you the pattern that God has given us that we can return to him. You find it in 2 Chronicles 7:14, and there are four things. And I found this pattern in Leviticus, in Deuteronomy, in the New Testament, in the book of Revelation. You find these same principles there. And I know that if we do these things, then it will attract the fire of God into our lives. And the promise is, if my people, that's us, isn't it, will humble themselves and pray, seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven. That's the promise. And that's what I'd like us to just think about it for a moment now. Maybe we could just stand as we kind of go through these things and just pray through these things. I don't know if whether, Leonie, you could just, and the musicians, like to come back. But let's take this seriously this morning, because the possibility is so great if we do these things. May God give us grace. First of all, it says humble yourself. That means really acknowledging our need. God, the fire is burning pretty low in my life. I need you, God. I confess my need of you. Those are humble words. I listened to John March's talk when I was away, it was a great talk, actually, wasn't it? Those of you that heard it. Very humble, very powerful, very real. And I'm grateful for people around us that are humble, because God can use us, can't he? Humble yourself. Nobody else can humble you. Only you can humble yourself. And God waits for us to do that. Pray. God wants us to use our words and to say something to him today. He wants us to pray to him, and he wants us to learn to pray. Third thing, to seek my face. As Bob and Vicky took me up to Cambridge, I lost my new cap. And I was so sad about it. And we went out in the dark and we looked for it. We looked for it in the car park. We looked at it in the dark. And eventually we did find it. But I wanted that cap. And so I spent time seeking it. What we're talking about today is much more important than that, isn't it? So we need to be serious about seeking God before anything else. And then finally, turning from our wicked ways. Are we prepared to turn from the ash in our lives? That's the sin, but it's also just the stuff. Just the stuff. It's always a battle, isn't it? I always battle with apps on my phone. I've got that kind of a mind. I find it quite appealing. Recently, I've got like a Sudoku app on my phone. And in a mindless moment, I'm drawn to it. And it's addictive. And it may seem a little thing, but I've had to throw it off my phone. And I come back. And then I've thrown it off again. And it's not that it's wrong, But actually, it was stopping me from praying. And when I needed to pray, it was too easy to just turn to that satisfying thing. It could be friends, it could be the news, it could be the TV, it could be all sorts of things. But we need to turn from our wicked ways, and then God will move on our hearts. So let's pray. And then I'd like us to sing, Spirit of the Living God, fall afresh on me, and to just pray this song through as we do it. Thank you, Lord. Is there anybody in the congregation that would like to just come here and just pray, a real prayer that they feel that, you know, that the embers could be more fiery, and they'd just like to come and pray right now? Because it would be lovely if you could. Anybody feel honest enough or brave enough to do that? Thank you, Van. Just keep our eyes closed and focused on our hearts.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. Thank you, Father, for this amazing fire you are offering to us. Father in heaven, with a humble heart, we come to your presence to ask that the Holy Spirit come into our hearts and put the fire that we need every day, Lord. Protect us and go before us, Lord. To never ever leave that fire out of us, Lord, but put us more of it, Lord. In the mighty name of our Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Anybody else like to pray?
Lord Jesus, forgive me for thinking that I can conjure up this fire when I feel dry and the embers have gone out. And Lord, I thank you that we can come humbly. And I do today. I come and I ask that you would ignite the fire again in my own heart. I want my heart to be burning. Lord, I thank you that you're willing and you're so kind to do this. I ask that today you'd pour out your Holy Spirit on our hearts. You know the state of our hearts better than we do. And Lord, I really pray that you would help me to be honest about where I'm at. Amen.
Amen. Anybody else, just before we move on?
Heavenly Father, our Daddy in heaven, you are a great God. We thank you for who you are. You know us more than we know ourselves. And your heart is full of kindness, love, generosity in every area. Daddy, we are nothing but dust. We cry out to you today, Heavenly Father. We know that there's so much ashes, so much dirt that is in us. And we beg you in the name of Jesus, you will help us to clean out our heart so that you'll be able to light that fire that you want to light in us. We cannot do it on our own. We beg you in the name of Jesus, as individuals, as a church, as a whole, we cry out to you, Heavenly Father, that you will be merciful to us. We know that as we try, Heavenly Father, we fail so many times. But Father God, in your kind of heart, and still patient with us, we beg you in the name of Jesus, you will help us to use the broom to what to clean every part of dead ashes. There are so many of them that we don't even understand that they are there. Help us to clean them out. That you'll be able to lay the altar to you. That you are ready and willing to fill us with your Holy Spirit. We beg you, Heavenly Father, to do it. Because Father God, those before us, they realized that they couldn't do it. They cried out to you, and you had mercy on them. We are doing the same today. As you have spoken through your servant, spoken to us because you want to fill us with your Spirit. Because without it, we cannot do anything. We cannot even help ourselves, never mind helping others, Father God. Please, Father God, as we remember your Son, Jesus coming to earth, even this time, Please, Heavenly Father, help us as individuals each day, each second, that we are washing, cleaning ourselves with your Holy Spirit to sweep off every area of our lives. Papa, please, O Lord, that you'll be able to fill us, even to the brim. Father, there's so much darkness around us. And we know that if we are burning, we'll be able to burn to those that are suffering. We'll be able to show them that love that you want to bring to earth. Please use us. We cry out to you in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Onyeka. So let's just sing Spirit of the Living God. It may be that you have to go and get children, or you may want to get a cup of tea or coffee. That's absolutely fine. You may, that's fine. I'll just finish saying this, Mary, but yeah, come up. You may want to get a cup of coffee. Feel free to stand or sit down. But we're going to sing through Spirit of the Living God once or twice. And then if you want to stay, we'll continue worshiping. Just let God work in your heart. If you want to pray with somebody, that's fine. But let's not lose the opportunity of God doing something in our hearts, you know, which he is willing to do today. Mary.
Praise the Lord. I just hear the Lord says that there are a lot of baggage we are carrying. And because of the baggage, the light in us is not being seen or revealed. When we try to put this light on, it's like faking it. It's not coming up. Because we really need to let go. Until we let go, the fire in us cannot burn. It's like a candle put in a bookshelf and then you cover it up. It's not going to light. So God is saying today that he wants to do something new in our spirit, in our life. But we have to let go for the ashes of unforgiveness, ashes of resentment, ashes of bitterness, ashes of jealousy. We need to put this out. God cannot flow. The Holy Spirit cannot flow in us if we have this baggage. It's like you taking a white material and putting a red ink on it. That's how it is. And the Holy Spirit is far away. So it doesn't matter how much we pray, but God wants us. David said, create in me a clean heart, a right spirit within us. And that is what God is expecting from us today. Because we can pray until Jesus comes, until we search our heart and make sure that we let go of yesterday so that we can move into the tomorrow. And the tomorrow is the fire that is burning us so that we can affect other lives. Because your life is a living episode read of men. Praise God.
Good morning, everybody. If you'd like to grab a seat, that would be fantastic. Musicians to your posts. Okay, well, we're going to make a start. It's a very exciting day today. What's exciting about today?
It's the first day.
Somebody tell me. Could you say that again, Ruth?
It's Christmas.
It's Christmas. Yeah, it's the beginning of Christmas. It's December the 1st. And so lots of churches are celebrating Advent. And the word Advent means the coming of something. Interestingly enough, Advent is actually supposed to be about the coming of Jesus in the future. But it's also about the coming of Jesus at Christmas. When he came down to earth. And it's special because it's about the coming of Jesus today. And that's what we are here as church to experience. That where two or three are gathered together, Jesus said, I'm here. And I believe he is already. As Phil will remember, Andre Crouch used to say that we know that Jesus is here because you brought him. He's in us, isn't he, together as we gather in his name. So we're very excited about Christingle. And Joe's going to explain later what Christingle is all about. It's about the light of heaven shining in our hearts.
And we're going to start this morning by singing O Little Town of Bethlehem. And I just wanted to point out, and let's just have a think about this together. O Holy Child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in, be born in us today. Now we know if we are believers in Jesus that we have been born from above, but every day he wants to reveal himself, doesn't he, to us. So we want to really pray that he will descend to us today. So shall we just stand and really just pray that together? And then when we sing the words, let's really think about these words, they're incredible words. This song was written, this carol was singing in the 1859 revival that really transformed this country in many ways, certainly transformed the church. It was written in the heat of revival, and the words are very, very meaningful. O Holy Child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Father, we just come to you this morning, Lord, and we thank you. We thank you. Father, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you that he was born. We thank you that he lived, that he died for our sins, that he was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father. And that today he is standing at the right hand of God Almighty, higher than any other person, higher than any other name. The name of Jesus is far above all. Father, we thank you that he is with us by the Holy Spirit today. Father, we want to be changed by your presence today. And we open our hearts to you that you might move in our hearts, Lord. That you might touch our lives, that you might speak to us, that you might transform us by your presence. Would you give us a spirit of revelation, Lord, and help us to understand who Jesus is and what he has done as we sing these wonderful words. Amen.
Just going to read out just a few very short verses from the Gospel of John. The Christingle service that we're doing this morning, it's all about our hearts. I don't know if you noticed in O Little Town of Bethlehem, it says, where meek souls, humble souls, will receive him still, the dear Christ, the dear Christ. We have no idea how dear he is. One day I think we'll understand it, but the dear Christ will enter in. And that's kind of what Christingle's about. So I'm just going to read these words from John. They're the very beginning words in John 1. We don't need to put them up because I'm going to read them slightly differently. It says this, it's a famous passage. In the beginning was the Word. This is Jesus. And the Word, Jesus, was with God. And the Word was God. And Jesus was with God in the beginning. And through him, through Jesus, get this, all things were made. All things were made. And without him, without Jesus, nothing was made that has been made. Nothing. Every tree, every flower, every human heart that's beating, all made. Nothing was made without him. And in him, it gets more wonderful, in him was life. And this isn't physical life. This is this incredible word, Zoe. In him was spiritual life. And this spiritual life, this word Zoe, was the light of all mankind. So if a man doesn't have this life inside him, he's in darkness. That's what it's saying. And this light shines and has shone into the darkness of our hearts, and the darkness didn't overcome it. How brilliant that we can't put out the darkness, but we can turn on the light. You can never put out darkness, but you've got to get the light on. And that's what this Christingle's about. So we're going to sing two more songs. The first one is this wonderful song, Zechariah's song, that Min wrote several years back that we've sung often, and it's often at Christmas, and it says, shine your light. It's a prayer to God. Would you afresh, anew, Lord Jesus, shine your light in my heart today? It's just a real prayer to him. And then we're going to sing a song that we sang in Flame last week, which was Spirit of the Living God. It's a prayer for the Holy Spirit. Would you fall afresh again on me? And we sang it last week in Flame, and something happened in our hearts last Sunday out in that room. And suddenly I realized that the children, many of them were on their knees. Many of them had lifted up their hands. I hadn't asked them to do that. And wow, they sang it. And they sang that middle bit. And it says in the middle, it says, melt me. It's a prayer to God. Would you melt my heart? Would you mold me like a potter into something? Would you fill me? And then could you use me? And it was so amazing to hear these young ones singing it. So we're going to sing these two songs. It's a real time to pray to God. And then we're going to go into the Chris Stingle bit. But we're really praying this morning that we wouldn't just light the candles, but that something would happen in here, that maybe where we've got a little bit of light, we'd have a bit more light in our hearts. So this involves everyone, not just the children and the young people. So let's stand, and we're going to sing these next two songs. And let's really pray them from our hearts. The thing of Chris Stingle goes all the way back nearly 300 years ago to a church in Germany where God had poured out his Holy Spirit about 12 years before, and they'd seen this incredible Moravian revival which went out really across much of the world and deeply impacted the UK as well at that time through Wesley and others. And they were concerned after about 12 years that the flames were dying down, and so they started this Chris Stingle service where they gave the children oranges and candles. They didn't give them sweets, we don't think, and all the other stuff. But they did give them a candle and an orange. And they prayed this wonderful prayer, Lord Jesus, kindle a flame in these children's hearts, that theirs, their hearts, like thine would become. They were praying that their children's hearts would become like God's heart. So if we put up the next picture, we got some, yeah, so there's a Chris Stingle cube, which is, this is about the Chris Stingle. I'm supposed to be demonstrating this. Hang on a minute. I'm not going to do it like Blue Peter. Well, I am actually. Because here's one I made earlier. There it is. So this is what we're all going to make in a minute. And so the next picture, it'll show us. There, so there's some children making them. So the orange is like a picture of the world. I think actually it's also a picture of our hearts. But it's a picture of the world. And that God made the world. He surrounds it with his love. It's red, this little band around it. Why would it be red, that band? It's sort of got some symbolism in it. Can any of the children remember why that band would be red? Why isn't it green or purple or something? It's a picture. It's a picture of the death of Jesus. Oh, I didn't see you, Daniel. I'm looking the wrong way. Do you want to say what you think?
In your ear.
In my ear? Okay, he said it's the blood of Jesus. It's a picture of the blood of Jesus wrapped around the earth in his love. And then the next picture is... There they go. So then they're having wrapped the red band around it. They're taking the sweets and they're going to put them on sticks, and you end up with four sticks. The plan is to have no more than four sweets on your stick, because we have had, we've had people trying to get like 15 sweets on a stick. We're aiming for four sweets, okay, on a stick. It's a picture of the kind of goodness that God has poured into the earth. Today, all over the earth, people are going to be eating food. People are going to be enjoying the sunshine. People are going to be warm in their homes. People are looking out of eyes that they were given. People have got beating hearts. All of it poured out on mankind, regardless of whether they're Christians or not. God pours out his goodness on the whole earth. And that's what the picture is. We've added some glittery leaves, okay, this year. Sally said, what does this symbolize apart from your zeal about Christmas? Actually, it could symbolize the earth. It's a kind of eco bit here. We're acknowledging that God has made this glorious planet and that we shouldn't mess it up too much. But it's a thankfulness to him for that. And then the next bit is... He hasn't finished yet. Okay, he hasn't finished yet. And then this is what happens next. Hey, there's the candle, okay. So Jesus, this is the picture of God giving us Jesus as the light of the world. In him, remember, in him was Zoe, in him was spiritual life, and that spiritual life is the light of all mankind. And then finally, we share, I think. sharing. There you go, very glamorous looking Sunday school teacher there. They're sharing them together. And then finally, they go out and they share this with the world, that God has put this light in all of our hearts. So I'm just going to very quickly say to you, what we're going to do now is in a moment, Mauricio is going to come up and share one or two thoughts with us. The children and any teenagers are welcome to come. We've got loads of the oranges this week. Any of them are welcome to come and make the little Christingles. And then when you've made it, and we're going to try and make them very quietly over there, when you've made it, if you could come back and sit down, and then we'll call everyone up and we're going to pray. Some of the children are going to pray and we're going to light them. Just to quickly say, health and safety, please don't wave your candle around. If you do, it will be taken away from you. Not because we're mean, but because we're trying to keep everyone safe. So when you hold it, you need to hold it carefully. We need lots of adults to stand behind the children. And you need to be careful of your fringe, okay? Someone suggested we bought hair clips along, but we haven't bought hair clips, but you just need to be a little bit careful of your fringe. And then we're going to really pray that God would really touch our own hearts and touch the children's and the young people's hearts as we do that. Fantastic. So I need a few helpers who might come over, and we're pleading for a quiet, Edward, good to see you ready, a quiet craft session over there. Well, Mauricio comes up. Brilliant. Thank you.
While the children prepare quietly, I want to say thank you to Nick and Joe for giving me the opportunity to share a thought with you guys this Christmas. As you all know, my family and I arrived in August to the church. So this is our first time celebrating Christmas and Christingle with you guys at the church. And I was thinking about, she was explaining the history about Christingle. We're in Colombia. As you know, we're a Catholic country traditionally because we were colonized by the Spanish. So there was a tradition as well that was set up through the Catholics. It was started by a friar in Ecuador in the 1700s, in the 18th century. And since then, it's become a social event. It's become like a part of the culture in Colombia as well. And it's known as La Novena of Aguinaldos. Okay, so you're learning Spanish today as well with me. So I say La Novena of Aguinaldos. Aguinaldos, yeah. And in short, it's called La Novena. Okay, La Novena. Now this word comes from the Latin novum, which means nine. Okay, so novum means nine. And the idea was, there was a set of prayers, and you recite the prayers every day for 9 days, hence the word novena, from the 16th of December to the 24th of December. And every day is a different type of prayer. Now, the idea was that you are leading up like an advent or like a clock up to the birth of Jesus. Now, here in England, I know it's the 25th of December, but in Colombia, actually, it's on the 24th at midnight. So here on the 25th, you have a big chubby guy in red coming to drink your milk and eat your cookies and leaving the gifts under the tree. In Colombia, it's actually traditionally for the Catholics, baby Jesus. So he doesn't have a reindeer to travel on. I don't know, he teleports. I don't know how he gets there. But he gets there at midnight, and that is when you get the gifts. Now, when you go out through Tufnell Park, I've seen, like, in different parts of London, you see all the decorations, and you always see the Christmas trees, you see the reindeers, and you see, obviously, Santa. And in Colombia, because obviously a lot of parts in Colombia is a tropical country, it's not really that relatable. I know we have a lot of media now from the USA, so it's become more common now. But nevertheless, because of our tradition as a Catholic, we always have a nativity scene. So if you were to go to Colombia, walk down any, like, general streets, you will see, like, all the nativity. So you see baby Jesus, you see Mary, you see Joseph, you see the shepherds, you see the angels, etc., the nativity scene. So I was speaking with my wife earlier on, and during the week I'm with my friends, and as kids you used to walk down the street, check out all the nativity scenes, and usually the best decorations meant that it was going to be the best food. So what happened was, what usually happens on the novena is, as I told you, there's the 9 days of reciting the prayer. So what happens is someone will open their home, and either they invite their family or they invite their whole neighborhood. And the idea is that everybody in the neighborhood or the family will come for 9 days and recite the prayers. Along with these, as it's become more of a social event, there'll be food. So obviously, a lot of people were looking at the decorations. Who's got the best decorations? The Robertson seems to have the best decorations this year. Well, they would have called the Robertsons in Colombia, probably Roberto's. But the Roberto's have the best decorations this year. I'm going to go to them to food. And what happens is the actual people who want everybody to come, they'll make a promise. If you go every single day, and they'll keep a register, on the final day, on the 24th, you will get the present. So that made sure the kids were there for sure on the 9 days. But anyway, looking back at this as a Christian now here in England, and I think of the impact that it had on me, And the one word that I would use to describe what it has, what that has become to me, when I look back at las novenas, as you say, the word, the ninth, and I think the word I would use is family. Now, looking back through the Bible, there have been some amazing families, families that have made a massive impact in society. You don't have to be a Christian to know about these families. You have Adam, Eve, Cain and Abel and Seth. And we know what happened in that story from the beginning, in at the beginning of Genesis, the beginning of time. And the promise that started from there, which I'll talk about in a minute. And then you have Abraham and Sarah. And you have Hagar, you have Isaac, Ishmael. That story, we did a play with the teens. Remember, about the faith of Abraham and of Sarah and the promise for Isaac. And then you have Rebekah, you have Isaac and Jacob and Esau. And then you saw that how Jacob took that firstborn blessing from his brother Esau. And then you have Mary, you have Jacob and Leah. Jacob had to work 7 years. He wanted Rachel, but he worked 7 years and he ended up getting Leah. You had a very smart father-in-law. And then he had to work another 7 years and then he got Rachel. And then they had the 12 kids. Can you imagine now that family in the 21st century? Jacob maxing out the credit card at Morrison's with 12 of them. He's going to feed 12 kids. And then in the New Testament, you have Mary, you have Martha, you have Lazarus, and a special family that seemed to have a special connection with Jesus. And then you have Peter and his mother-in-law. And this is funny because in Colombia, and I'm probably here as well, there's a lot of memes and quotes about jokes about mothers-in-law. Now, I love my mother-in-law. Sandra, my wife, is here, and you know I love her. Barbara, I love you. I was lucky probably because when I was courting Sandra, my mother-in-law was in Colombia, so I was kind of lucky. But you see Peter pray, asking Jesus to pray for his mother-in-law. And then you have the disciples. They were brothers, some of them, but then they became brothers and sisters in Christ. And this leads me to the most important family, and this is where I want to end my thought. The most important family in the Bible, the world-changing family, was Mary, Joseph, and most importantly, the son that was given to them. I want you to think about the risk that Mary and Joseph had to take for Jesus to have been born. Mary could have been stoned to death for having the child. Joseph could have also been killed, or he definitely would have been shunned by the community, which at the time, especially in Jewish community at the time, was very, very, very important, as they were proposed to each other, but they weren't married yet. But they took a risk. And we, every year in many parts of the world, traditionally remember this story, but everybody or many people still forget the point. What is the most important point? And Jo mentioned it just now when she was explaining about the Christingle, about the light, being a light. And who is this light? This family is not amazing because of the parents. So they are amazing as well in themselves. So as I just said, what they did. But the son that was born to them, that was given to them, he became a light to the world. Now, I want you to consider whether traditionally you do it via the Christingle. You remember Christmas via the Christingle. Or like me, if you come from South America, you remember it via the novenas. Or perhaps you think of Christmas as a time to do food and share with friends, share with community or with companions. Perhaps you think of Christmas as a time to share with those who are less fortunate than ourselves. And I think it's all of them things in one, but it can only be one reason. And that is because the Son was given us a gift to all of us. Now, I wanted to pray, finish off with a prayer, and ask that God shine a light in our lives, that we can be a light to those who are still in darkness, which there are many, starting here in Tufnell Park and in wider area London and across the world, who need Jesus' light. So let us pray that we can be a light to those people that still need a light. And let us remember that the most important thing, above all the traditions, above all the celebrations that we have, that Jesus is the most important thing about Christmas. Let us pray. Lord, I thank you for giving us this opportunity to do a lovely celebration with the children, doing the Christingle, that we can remember all the gifts that you give us, that we can remember the protection that you give us, that we can remember the earth, as Joe mentioned, how it's a precious thing that we were given, this world, so we can live in, we can share our love, we can live our lives here in this place. But more importantly, O Lord, that you gave that light, you gave that candle that never, never, ever goes out. You gave a candle to our lives. And I want us this Christmas to be a candle, to be a light to those children, to those people across the world who need your light now more than ever. I ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Fantastic. Brilliant. Okay, so if you've made one, they're so beautiful, the ones they made. If you've made one, do you want to come up? It's lovely that some of the teenagers, guys, thank you so much. You've come and got involved as well. So just all come up. I need some people, Sally, Philippa, various people who might come and light candles in a minute. We're not going to light them yet. Can you come and stand over down? Let's go down this way, guys, because this is where the space is. And we need you in a row and not standing behind each other. Brilliant. James, maybe if you went at that end for us. And then we're not going to turn off the lights just yet. We're going to wait a second. Brilliant. Then we're going to pray. The children are going to pray, some of them. And then I've asked Peter and Baraka if they would really pray for the children together and for the younger teens. And then we will light the candles. And then we will turn off the lights. And then we've got a wonderful song called The Candle Song, which we'd love everyone to join in. It's just the most fantastic song. And it's a real prayer to God. So we're going to pray. So let's... Could the guys who said they would pray... just step forward a bit. So Daniel was going to pray. Sinan, brilliant, fantastic. Yeah, come. And Ruth's going to pray. And then in a minute we're going to ask Peter and Baraka to pray. So let's close our eyes. This isn't done for show. They're genuinely praying from their hearts that God would touch all of our hearts. Fantastic. Should we start with you? You don't want to go first. Let's start with Ruth, and then we'll go over.
Father, I just pray that you open our hearts, O Lord, and that your light will shine in us, and that your Holy Spirit will touch us. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you, Lord, you've given us life. Put the Holy Spirit in our lives and in our hearts. I pray that our hearts will be burning inside. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Dear God, this month is Christmas, but it's all about you. It's not about getting presents and talking about Santa. It's all about you. Mm. It's your birthday and all you've done for us, and we thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Fantastic. Jose.
Thank you, Lord, that you've just been with us, Lord. And thank you that we're worshipping Christmas for you, Lord. And thank you for just putting us on this earth and watching over us. And thank you for making us well. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Abigail.
Lord, I really thank you for always being there for us. I just really pray that the Holy Spirit will really come and touch our hearts. I just really pray that you'll be the bright light in our hearts when our hearts are dark, Lord. I just pray that we'll be able to share your word with others and not just save it to ourselves. In the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Lord, thank you that we have this opportunity to share your love with other people, Lord. And I pray we take this moment to set our hearts on fire, Lord, so we can set other people's as well. Amen.
Lord, I thank you that you love us, Lord. And I pray that the love that you have for us can overflow and we can just be examples of Christians to people around us, especially in this season when it's easy just to look at ourselves. We can use the love and the happiness that you fill us with to inspire others. And I pray, especially amongst these children, that you can give them the strength and courage to be different. And their light just shines through them, and they can really be examples in their classrooms. And I pray that you can make it easier for them to open up conversations. And I just thank you for this time of the year. I thank you for how it brings people together. And I thank you for family. I thank you for the family that we have here. And I just thank you for the love that you've shown us and the love that we're able to show others. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Wow, wonderful. It would have been worth coming to hear these prayers this morning. The matches are, and the candles are in that bag there. Oh, gosh, they're ready. Look at this. Wow. Okay, you need to stand in a line to make sure there's no one behind you. So once it's lit, just hold it really still. We just need people behind the younger ones. Wow, look at this. Should we turn off the lights? I think we could turn off the lights now. Wow. Fantastic. Okay, we're going to sing this song. Do we want people to stand? No, maybe you sit, then you can see it. Okay, let's just close our eyes. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you came to be with us. How amazing. You came to save us. How wonderful. And we do pray with these lit candles at the front here that be a picture of your work in our hearts, that over this next few weeks as we come towards Christmas, you would do something so wonderful in our hearts and we would come nearer to Jesus and our hearts would be melted. Father, we so pray and ask this in your name. Amen. Amen. Oh, guys, it looks fantastic. I don't know if anyone's taken some pictures. Brilliant. Technically, now we're asking you to blow them out for health and safety reasons. But do light them again, maybe tonight, you know, or even keep them and light them on Christmas Eve. But light them maybe tonight. That's what we used to say. Light them at twilight when it starts to get dark this evening. Fantastic. Brilliant. I think we're moving to the notices, are we? We are. We're moving to the notices. We're hoping that the smoke will clear quickly.
Well done, children. Fantastic. Thank you very much. You can go and sit down now. All the candles are blown out. Yeah. So we're going to just take the offering now. For those of you that are new to us this morning, we have a special Christmas-coloured red bucket, which is to remind us that Christmas is at every week of the year. Santa's bucket. And this is the part where we give a little bit of our lives back to Jesus. And I think we're going to sing a beautiful song, Light of the World, which is about Jesus being light of the world. So let's stand, shall we? And if you're want to put cash in the bucket and you're a taxpayer, at the information desk there is a little envelope that you could put your money in. Let's all stand. Lord Jesus, thank you that you are the light of the world. Thank you that you are very present, Lord, very present help in our trouble. You're very present here today to help us, Lord, and to help us to shine, Lord, as we sing this song. Father, would you give us a fresh understanding of Jesus? Really lovely to have some new people. Sorry, I haven't had time to say hi yet, but hopefully there'll be time afterwards. We do have a little thing called a welcome card, which is at the information desk. And if you want us to stay in touch with you, please do fill that in. There's one or two exciting things happening in a minute. I think we're going to call this a birthday bonanza. I don't think we've ever had so many birthdays on one day. But Bob's dealing with that, aren't you, Bob? Fantastic. Bob is a skilled, happy birthdayer. But we have one goodbye. Where's Ennie? She doesn't know I'm going to do this. You got some help with you, have you, Ennie? I'm really sorry to do this to you. But I do love Ennie. It's been lovely to have her with us for too short a season. And I don't suppose you want to say anything, do you?
It's really been nice being here. And I will miss the fellowship and the love of people. And I just want to say thank you to everyone. I said I wasn't going to cry, but especially to Pastor Nick, because he knows what he did. And I just want to say thank you to everyone.
Let's just pray for Annie, shall we? Father, we want to thank you for every precious member of your body, Lord. Thank you, Father, for the people that come however long, for short, for a long time, and they're part of your body, whether it's here or in Nigeria. or wherever. And Father, we just want as a church to pray for your blessing on Enne in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, you've begun a good work in her, Lord. Before she came here, you continued it here, and you will continue it when she goes home. Father, we pray in the name of Jesus for your Holy Spirit to continue to work in her life, and your blessing and your protection and your favor to go with her in Jesus' name. Amen.
Just very quickly, the Christmas notices. So next Sunday, Steph Liston from Rev Church is coming to speak. Brilliant. Look at that. He looks a bit serious in that picture. But anyway, but he isn't normally serious. And he's just a wonderful communicator and speaker. So he's with us next Sunday. Then the Sunday after that, I think we, do we have a thing for that? Is the carol service. There it is. So this is a really special day. It's probably the day when most people come to the church. So we don't have a morning meeting on that 15th Sunday. But we have this carol service at 4:00, but we badly need help. So if you have any time at all and could come and give us an hour or 2 hours in the morning. We're here from 10 o'clock in the morning decorating the whole hall and getting it ready. And then I think Drew has suggested that if you're involved with the music or you're one of the singers, to come at 2 o'clock or 2:30, I think is the plan, by which time hopefully the place will be set up. Yeah, is that right? 2 o'clock. So 2 o'clock, if you're in the band or you're singing, you'll know if you are. There isn't a choir this year. We're not doing a choir song. We're doing things a bit differently, and we've got two dramas and various things going on. But we really, really need people to get involved on that Sunday during the day. And then Paul always used to say to us, we needed three things to bring three things. Yes, I said the 10 a.m. Yeah, we did that. And so three things is to bring, think about bringing a friend, bringing someone. Someone told me they've already invited a couple of people who are possibly going to come. And to bring food. Could you bring lovely Christmas finger food? And if you want to give to the India work that we support, to bring some funds with you. But Paul always used to tell us it was the three F's, and it always helped me to remember. So that's the carol service. And then the one after that will be another carol service, but just in the morning with Rev Church, and then the stuff happening over Christmas, but it's all in the newsletter. Yes?
Brilliant. Mr. Birthday Bonanza.
Gavin created the role of birthday coordinator over the summer, and never have I felt the mantle of the birthday coordinator more heavily than I do today, I have to say. This is not so much a list of people, it's like a script in front of me. A crowd. So, anyone whose birthday is not today. So, can I ask? So, I'm going to. We've got four plus one. Okay, so we're going to do four birthdays first, and then we've got one rather special one we're going to celebrate a little bit separately. So, if I can ask Monica, NK, Kalechi, and Mercy, if you wouldn't mind just coming to the front. And Dan. Dan! Oh, I tell you, we've had to get a special security detail at the back of the church to guard the cakes. And we've just realised we're even a cake short. Dan, really? Dan, this is amazing. You can share the cake. You can have an orange, absolutely. So, I don't know if I dare ask how old people are. Kalechi. How old are you, Kalechi?
15.
15 years old. Fantastic. So, you must come and stand next to your dear mother. So here we have Kalechi, NK, Monica, Mercy, and the surprise birthday, Daniel. Order of names. So we're going to sing happy birthday, and we're going to sing them in the order of the names here, okay? So it's quite complicated, and this guy's Daniel at the end, all right? So, happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Kalechi, NK, Monica, Mercy, Daniel. Happy birthday to you. Fantastic. Let's just say a prayer for these wonderful people. Lord Jesus, we thank you. We thank you that each one of these people is special to you, Lord Jesus, that you know them, Lord, inside out, Lord God. You know their hearts, Lord Jesus. You know what's on their hearts, Lord. Thank you that you celebrated their birth, Lord Jesus, and you celebrate with us today. And we pray for your great blessing upon them in this coming year, Lord Jesus, that the plans you have for them would unfold before them, Lord Jesus, in your grace and in your mercy. Amen. And the 6th birthday is our dear sister Mary. Mary, would you like to come to the front here? This is a very special lady with a very special birthday. Mary, do I dare ask you the number of years you have been blessed? 70. 70 years. Amen. We've got an incredible cake that is making its way. We better make your way now, Vicky, because so let's sing happy birthday to Mary. Happy birthday. Okay, we're just going to pray for Mary. Nick, do you want to come and join us? We should pray for the cake as well. It's just incredible.
Father, let's just stretch out our hands towards Mary. Father, we thank you that Moses said 70 years and more if due to strength. And Father, we're praying for more for Mary, Lord. We are praying for much more. Father, we're praying for more years. We are praying for more health. Father, we are praying for more strength. Father, we're praying for more ministry, for more gifts, Lord. Father, we're praying for abundance for her in the name of Jesus. We thank you for all that you have done in her life, Lord. But Father, we are expecting a new chapter this day in Jesus' name.
Yes, Lord Jesus, Lord, we just so thank you for Mary. Lord, thank you for your faithfulness over 70 years, Lord Jesus, Lord. And Lord, as Mary looks back, Lord God, and then turns to look forward, Lord Jesus, there will be more faithfulness, Lord Jesus, Lord, more grace, Lord Jesus, more provision, more fruit, Lord Jesus. We so thank you for Mary, Lord. Thank you for all that she brings to us as a church family, Lord Jesus. And we pray, Lord God, please, that you would pour out your Holy Spirit upon her in greater and greater measure, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Amen. I've got a very, very special announcement for anybody in Tribe. Who's in Tribe? Tribe. Thank you. Tribe. For those of you in Tribe, you are staying in. So don't leave. Is that all right? Thank you, Michelle. Michelle asked me to make it very clear. I hope I have made it very clear. So otherwise... there's a caveat. There's a few that are coming to help in Flame. They know who they are. There we go. Okay, so the other children, if you'd like to leave now, that'd be wonderful.
In a few moments, I'm going to say a few words. But before I do, why don't you just say hi to somebody? We always suggest in front or behind you, in case you're sitting next to your friend. Say hello to somebody you don't know. And... wish them a happy Christmas in advance if you can't think of anything else to say.